This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Awesome to see. That's why we drafted him. He's not going to, you know, surprise you with his speed, but he's just so quick in and out of his cuts. He's downhill and his center of gravity is so low that, you know, he's tough to bring down, and he runs the ball super hard, protects the ball. Very proud of him for stepping up.
That was Josh Allen on Ray Davis. Allen, a lot of leadership last night that came out from Allen. I don't know if people caught it. But a lot of talk about what happened after the Deion Dawkins situation at the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, the penalty. Deion talked about it after the game. But Allen, Josh Allen, came over to the sidelines and was kind of barking at Deion about it. And you could see he was a little bit heated over the what was transpiring. And listen, the Bills were hurting themselves a lot in this game with penalties. I mean, the penalties were outrageous, how many were called, and so many that just should not have been called, right? Come on, what are we doing? I'm glad Aaron Rodgers at least even went public after the game and said the A.J. Epinesa roughing the passer was ridiculous. He said it wasn't a roughing the passer. The officials last night, they became the show and took control of the game, and that should not be the case. Nobody goes there to see you, man, right? Like, what are you doing? Some of those calls were just ridiculously egregious from an official standpoint. However, the Bills did commit too many penalties, especially pre-snap. Now, you can debate on ticky-tack illegal formations. I think that's right. But don't give them a reason to call an illegal formation. It's the same thing last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, Kadarius Toney, right? Everybody's like, well, look at him. He's lined up here. You never call that. Don't give him a reason to call it. And the Bills did last night too many times. So that's got to be cleaned up. Lots of stuff that still needs to be cleaned up. Listen, it's a coach's... Everybody wants to win 40-0, right? You'd love if that happened. But I'm telling you, coaches like when they win a game and still have a lot to get on their team about. Kind of makes everything the next week, you know, still go keep the machine running, so to speak. And not let you get, you know, resting on what you did. And credit to the Bills players in the locker room. They said that. They said there's a lot we have to clean up after this game. They were not walking out. The Bills players did not walk out of that locker room and say, hey, everything's good again, 4-2, we're totally fine. It was, hey, we won. Super happy, super proud, but got some work to do here. All right, let's go to Greg in, where are you, Greg? Kensington? Kingston. There you go. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
Love the show. Just want to, you know, I left last night's game just trying to keep the big picture in perspective, just feeling amazed that we have Josh Allen as our quarterback, and it's just been so fun to continue to watch him grow as a leader, as you just mentioned, and hearing the impact he's had on the entire team, listening to Ray Davis's interview last night, and just how humble Ray Davis is, how humble so many of the teammates are, putting that team mentality first. I'm just really excited for this team and where they're going. You know, I just think it's important in the week-to-week reactions we have, as some of the callers are mentioning, just to maintain that optimism and think about where we are versus, you know, where we were 10 years ago. I was in kindergarten for Super Bowl 25, and that was, you know, my introduction to Bills fandom. So I'm just so thankful for this team. I think, you know, really excited. Yes, I think we have a piece missing a wide receiver that would put us over that hump, but you know, really not far away. And, you know, the defense is continuing to play strong. So just, you know, I know fans are hungry. You know, we have been eating lately, but I know we're waiting for that Super Bowl banquet and excited to get to that point. And I think this team's going to make it there. So just feeling so grateful for this team and just super excited to continue to watch what happens this season.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Good call. I really appreciate that. Good sentiment right there. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of it, right? Like, you know, you went through 17 years of no playoffs. It's been a really nice run here, and you can kind of get a little spoiled, I think. I think you can. There's certainly a lot of things to clean up from last night that you can criticize or talk about. but last night was still better, you know, to be on the better end there, and there was still a lot more positive than negative. But for me, it's more of a big picture. And if I could do something to, like, there's one thing I could really try to train everybody to do and inject something in you to have you do this, right? Because yeah, I get it. Fans are fans. They're going to watch their game mostly, going to watch their team. And most fans, not all, they're not going to watch every game around the league. You're not going to see and break down all the film. We have people who do that and content creators and all that. But if I could train and get people to understand one of my pet peeves, but I get it and I try to implore this, and I just want you to try to understand when I say this, okay? You have to take a look at other teams too in the league. Your team is never going to be perfect. The other team has professional football players and professional coaches who get paid to beat you. And you're going to have ebbs and flows in games, ebbs and flows in seasons. You're going to have bad plays that happen, bad coaching mistakes that happen. You never want that. You want it to be perfect. But when you win a game 23-20 and more positive happens, and the talk after the game is about so much negativity, I'm like, get some perspective, man. Like, what do you think radio sounds like in Cincinnati this week? I mean, they won, right? But I mean, like, where they are. What do you think it sounds like, you know, with the Jets and everything they've done? And they've been here for so long, right? Pick a team. They're the Cowboys. It's not easy to win. Even the teams that do win don't always win. The Ravens. Yeah, they're looking great right now. They've looked really well over the last few years, and then they have stumbled in the playoffs. Get some perspective on how tough it is every week to go out there and win games, and that not everything's going to be perfect. If all you do is look at your team every week and watch your one game, and then you see all these great numbers from teams and the highlights that everybody's showing, talking about how they look at the players of the week, if you think that's like what it should be for every team, you have no perspective. Because on the other side of that is a team that lost every week. It's a team that played poorly, that had coaching blunders, that had horrible play. You know, I mean, it's just, I just think perspective gets lost. The fact that it's a league and it's a sport, there's professional players that are getting paid to beat you. Yes, we can talk about, and we deserve to, and we have to, and we have to give the space to talk about all the bad things that happen in a game. It's not all, like I said, I'm generally an optimistic guy, as you know. It's not all rainbows and roses. I get it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
But I think it's a great example of somebody called earlier. The Hail Mary was brutal, right? I mean, here we've had these end-of-game situations, end-of-half situations. Here's the Hail Mary. Not a lot of people are talking about how great the end of the game was, actually, though, for the Bills. Like, they closed it out. That was good coaching. And that was good execution all around. So, you know, those things matter, too. It's just the bad things stand out so much, I think. And you've seen them rear their head a few too many times, so they stand out so much. They also did a great job at the end of the game coaching and playing. And that needs to be recognized. Okay, let's go to Tim in Carolina. Hi, Tim. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal, thanks. I first wanted to say that a lot of people are calling for, you know, Tyler Bass to, and I'm one of them, you know, but he's got to figure it out. We just paid him. We're not ready to eat that money. You just got to hope that he figures it out with the whole Tyler Bass thing. The one player that I am kind of sick of seeing is Damar Hamlin. I really just see this guy out there running around and kind of making business decisions. Like, it's a great story. He's a warrior, you know, Bills. I get the whole thing, but at the end of the day, man, he's one person that I would really like to see, you know, Cole Bishop or somebody just step up and take the spot away. Taylor Rapp, by the way, give the man his flowers. But the Damar Hamlin thing is just over for me. I'm sick and tired of seeing it. As far as the positives go, I called last week. I don't know if it was your show or somebody else's, but when Dawson Knox is included in this offense in the receiving aspect, this offense is so much better, and I'm so happy for him to get the touchdown. He's been through a lot the past couple of years and things like that. So happy to see that. And of course, Ray Davis stepping up. Are you kidding me? You know, welcome to the NFL, kid. Played a ton of college football and was great in college, but Monday Night Football, division rival on the road, and he just steps up like that. It was incredible to see. And the last thing, Sal, I do want to get your take. I don't know if it looked different from the sideline, but I thought the Aaron Rodgers fumble, no fumble, was really, really odd. Mm-hmm. If that's not a fumble, then why is it not grounding? Yep. And also, why are they immediately just like, you know, doing the air, you know, coming over and disputing that within seconds? It was really confusing. I just want to get your take on it. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Tim. I'm going to address this right now. I appreciate you calling and asking because, well, first of all, let me say about Damar Hamlin. The issue with Damar Hamlin is that he's not like a playmaking safety, and he doesn't attack the ball very well. He's more of a – I disagree, Tim. He's making business decisions. I think he's a physical guy. He's not shying away necessarily. Maybe you saw something last night. I can go back and look. Maybe you saw something specific. But he's not a guy who makes plays, and we're so used to having Poyer and Hyde. And last night, obviously, you know, Taylor Rapp and even Cole Bishop, you know, he made a couple mistakes, a big one in the game last week, but he was making plays off the edge. That's not Damar Hamlin's game. Damar Hamlin's game is actually kind of pretty well suited for what they want to do, which is keep everything in front of you and kind of live to fight another down, right? But I get it. He's not the most athletic guy, and I wouldn't be surprised or nor opposed to Cole Bishop taking that spot if Cole Bishop's ready. But I can't have Cole Bishop making mistakes that go over the top of him like he did last week. So as much as we both would like to see Cole Bishop, you're also having some risk-reward there with a rookie who made that mistake last week. Let's get to the Aaron Rodgers fumble. I agree 100% with you, Tim. I said it on the sidelines. If that's an incomplete pass, why isn't it intentional grounding? Who's he throwing it to? And I think it was actually a tuck rule that should have been a fumble. Tuck rule's been changed. It is a fumble now. That was a tuck rule. He came down, and he was still controlling the ball in his hand. And then it went down. And then it was, you know, came out of his hand. The officials obviously ruled different. What they said was his arm was moving forward. Okay, incomplete pass. Should have been intentional grounding. I agree 100% with that. But that was just another botched situation by the officials who had too many of them last night. Let's go to Mike in Lancaster. Thanks, Tim. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Got three things, actually. One is Daquan Jones. I haven't even heard his name mentioned this year, and he seems like, since he come back from the injury and being on the line there, he is just I don't even see him in the game. No pressures, no nothing with the guy. Second thing is Damar Hamlin. If you watch the pick from Taron Johnson on that play, I don't know if you get your way you look at it, but if you watch Damar Hamlin on that in the middle, he totally is not going with the deep man there and kind of gets caught in nowhere land. So, and then I just wanted you to see if you could take a look at that play and see.
I will say this. I haven't seen it, but I will tell you what Taron Johnson said after the game. Taron Johnson said that Terrell Bernard, because the Jets had done something where Terrell Bernard kind of had to change up the call, the defensive call late. So even Taron, he said, even he was a little bit late getting where he had to go, but he knew he had to get there quickly, so he did. And like I said earlier, Damar's not the greatest athlete, right? So it could have been a situation, too, where he's also trying to get into his position, and now because you double down with him not being the most fleet-of-foot guy necessarily, that he's also going to be a little bit, you know, late in getting to where he's supposed to be. And, by the way, it was kind of a disjointed play from Rodgers to Williams. Apparently, Williams Like, Rodgers thought he was doing one thing and Williams did another. So I think from that perspective, it was all kind of screwed up. I get what you're saying, but that's the perspective I got from Taron Johnson on how that went down on the defensive side.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Daquan Jones. He did have a sack last night. He also had a tackle for a loss, and he was quite credited with two quarterback hurries.
Okay. I guess I haven't heard his name much. It just doesn't seem like he's been as good as he was before.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think last year he was very good against the run and interior pressure. That hasn't happened as much. Now, he hasn't had Ed Oliver next to him in the last two games. I think that matters. But last night, though, I don't know if now is the time. Like, you can, I know that like the perspective of hearing that or seeing that, but I will tell you statistically, last night he was good. I mean, he only had two tackles. And you're not going to get a lot at D-line necessarily, but he did was credited with a sack and a quarterback hurry. One quarterback. I said two earlier, one quarterback hurry. So he did show up in the stat sheet a little bit last night, Mike. And I agree with you, though, that not necessarily the full-bodied player that he was last year, but you know, maybe with Ed Oliver hopefully coming back next week, you see a little bit more of that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we will continue to take your phone calls on the Bills' 23-20 win over the New York Jets on Monday Night Football last night. Oh, yeah, by the way, get to the Barnes injury report when we come back after this timeout.
It's another run play, another giant hole. Cuts it back. Five. Runs over a defender. He's down to the goal line. They say he's down at the two. Ray Davis is wrecking defenders. Sauce Gardner, the victim on that one.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.